Number one, the fasting and prayer conference includes meals. Number two, the sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. Our youth basketball team is back in action Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the recreation hall. Come out and watch us kill Christ the King. These were actually in bulletins. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Miss Charlene Mason sang, "I will not pass this way again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. I can't imagine this being a mistake. This is hilarious. For those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. I like this one's for Brother Mark right here. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is hell?" Come early and listen to our choir practice. Hey, I'm part of that choir. Be quiet. Scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. Please place your donation in the envelope along with the deceased person you want remembered. Potluck supper Sunday at 5 p.m. Prayer and medication to follow. This is kind of like this. The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon. Ladies' Bible study will be held Thursday morning at 10 a.m. All ladies are invited to lunch in the fellowship after the BS is done. I don't know what that means. The pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would send him their electric girdles for the pancake breakfast next Sunday. All right. Last one. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Amen. And we complain about little misspelled things in our bulletin. Man, at least you don't do that. Amen. All right. Preacher told me he got through a whole page in the notes, and that's awesome. Why don't we turn in our Bibles quickly? Well, let's just do this. See where he left off here. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And if I've got it right, he left off on page 2, a model of seeking God's presence and power so that we may live in him and not be drawn away with the sinful world system. Yes. Yes, I do. Hold on, I'll get somebody that can read to you. Wait. Matthew chapter 6. We've read a few times, 5 through 15, the model prayer that the Lord gives us. Last 2 weeks ago, when we started this out about prayer, I wanted you to try to kind of think about prayer as an attitude change towards prayer. An attitude change meaning if you delight in His will, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And the reason that I wanted you to think of things that way is because of this. And I've actually put a lot more thought into it. We'll get a little bit into this actual point here in a second. But I wanted to kind of reiterate the fact that I want you to think about in prayer life, there's times that you need to pray. And I want you to, I don't want you to be so hard on yourselves when you pray, okay? I think you should have a set prayer time. A lot of folks pray in the morning. I think that's awesome. I think that getting up in the morning and praying first thing is awesome. You don't have to spend hours in prayer in the morning. You can, and you need to have a prayer time where you set aside just that you go and you talk to the Lord alone. It does not have to be in a closet. It talks about a prayer closet, but what that means is getting you alone. It means that you're getting alone with God. You and four walls and God is all you've got. Because in this day and age, you don't have time anymore. It just, you don't have a 40-hour work week anymore. If you've got a 40-hour work week, I'd like to see your job, okay? Most folks work 50, 60 hours a week at the very minimum just to be able to make it. So to set aside time to pray, to set aside time to talk to the Lord, sometimes it's very hard to get, but you need to get it. And you don't have to have 2 hours or 3 hours to be a good Christian. Matter of fact, this is what you need to do. You need to find a time that you can get alone with God and pray and worry about the time later. Okay? Just go and you think, well, man, it's not possible. You know what? It's really hard at first. It really is. But after a while, when you adjust your attitude of prayer towards others, okay? Now, the reason I say that is because you'll spend 5 minutes praying for yourself, and you'll be out of stuff. Okay, really, 5 minutes is a long time of prayer. You will be out of stuff to pray for in 5 minutes if you just concentrate on you. But if you would think for a minute of all the people in just our church that need your prayer, right. You'll be praying for hours, and you won't even realize it. You really won't. It'll go by so fast, you won't even realize it. Okay, that's why I'm trying to adjust the attitude of prayer. Adjust the attitude off of Dave Ballard to start praying for Mike Sells. Adjust the attitude off of Dave Ballard to start praying for Miss Karen. And it's amazing how, like, as soon as I saw Brian, the first thing I thought of was Miss Karen. I've been praying for her for a while, and I want her to get better. And your attitude will change towards your fellow people. It's hard to not like somebody. Listen to me. It's hard to not like somebody when you're praying for them. If you want to adjust your attitude towards somebody maybe you don't like so much, and I know there's nobody in here that doesn't like anybody else. I know that. We're all very good people. But when you get to the point where maybe you think you might, you know, have maybe a little bit of something there for somebody, maybe it'd be time to start praying for them. Amen. It's amazing. I had a great statement told to me. I can't remember who said it, but they said to me, we spend more time talking than we do praying. Amen. Now, I understand that you should talk, but how many times have we tried to fix an issue with talk long before we try to fix it with prayer? And the one that can really fix it, Christ, never gets brought into the conversation. I just think we need to adjust our attitude towards prayer a little bit, adjust our thoughts about prayer a little bit, adjust our frivolous wants and desires in prayer towards things that really matter and things that we really care about. Asking Christ for something amazing, such as getting us a new building would be amazing. Filling this building out for Sunday school class on Sunday mornings would be amazing. Having our choir, which has been packed out lately, what a great job Brother Mark's doing, having that just really blossom into something amazing. Wouldn't that be great to pray for those things? I'm just trying to name a few, okay? So I think we need to adjust our prayer life just a little bit so we can understand what prayer, what we're really supposed to be doing in prayer. And I think that's really seeking God. If you look at this real quick, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I talked about this a little bit with you. I just want to go over this again. Do not worry about praying in front of folks. Don't worry about people hearing what you've got to say. You've got one person to talk to in prayer and one only, and that's Christ Jesus. If we worry so much about sounding great, looking great, smelling great in front of everybody, forget that mess. You pray to God. You say, well, I don't talk good. What's that got to do with anything? God made your mouth. Blame Him. Talk to Him about it. We take this prayer thing sometimes so out of track of what it's supposed to be. Speak to God. And when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. How great is that? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would to God that we had the attitude of that last verse more often. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get to this lesson. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity that it is to stand in this pulpit. Lord, please bless these people in a very special way, getting them closer to prayer. Lord, I believe if they get closer to prayer, they get closer to you. And Lord, it's the one avenue of communication that we have to you that we can speak just right to you. And Lord, I just believe that you want us to speak in a conversation that would be pleasing to you. And we would ask for things that would be pleasing to you. Your Bible speaks of things that we ask amiss. And I wonder if, Lord, if those aren't because we're asking selfishly or asking with a motive. Lord, I want to be closer to you, and I want to be able to pray to you as you would have me to pray. And I'm thankful for these lessons that this brother has put down for us, that we can investigate this a little bit closer. Lord, thank you for even giving us an avenue to talk to you. Lord, please be with us today. Anoint me, Lord. Really, speak through me today. I want me to be none of this. That's always my prayer. Let me decrease and let you increase to everything this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we get into this, a model of seeking God's presence and power so that we may live in Him and not be drawn away with the sinful world system. If you turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, very quickly, we're going to have to kind of move this morning. Romans 12, 1 and 2. One of my favorite verses, if not my favorite verse, is actually what I've coined as my life verse with quotes around it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now listen. How would you feel? And I want you to just kind of envision. This is how I envision this verse. I envision the Lord standing there, and you are coming before Him and presenting yourself. Lord, I am a sacrifice for you. And how would you feel if the Lord looked down at you and said, you know, the lives that we lead sometimes as a Christian are so lacking. Yes. And it's easy today to get caught up in everything else that's going on. And almost every person in this room can testify to the fact that they have one time or another turned to God at the very end for something that they needed. They went everywhere else but God and then finally came to God. God, you're my last resort. I've done everything I can, God. Now it's up to you. I wonder if God would one time or another say, man, Lord, I see on the horizon a storm coming. Lord, could you please help me before the storm gets here? I wonder if the Lord would be more pleased if we would talk to Him early and often. Amen. Right. About things that happen in our life and about things that happen in others' lives. I'm going to tell you right now, we see all the time, it's easy to run teenagers out. Think about this with me. It's easy to see these teenagers up here messing up, and you can't wait to kick them out. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like teenagers messing up either, but understand this. Do you realize where they are today? I want you to think with me now. These kids are sitting here on a Sunday morning. Where else could they be? There's millions of places these kids could be. Millions. But here they are in church. Well, bless God, they're slumping in their seats. You slump in your seat. And yes, I don't think that they should be messing up, and I think they should have better etiquette. But glory to God, I'm thankful that they're here. And I'm thankful that the Word of God is being preached in their ears. And I'm hoping that someday the Word of the Lord will stick and it'll change their life. Because you're not going to change your life. The Word of God is going to change your life. No amount of coffee houses, no amount of social gatherings, no amount of hip-hop music is going to change a teenager's life. If you want to change your life for God, it's got to be God that does it, not us. We can help them along the way. We can try to focus them in. But I'm here to tell you, unless Christ is behind it, it's not going to get done. So what we need to do when we're thinking about these things and when we're trying to pull people out of the world system, honestly, when you're in prayer, you should be praying, Lord, please keep mine eyes stayed on thee. Lord, please don't let my eyes get off to the right hand or to the left. Lord, don't let me get off the focus that I have in you in my prayer life. Don't let me get off the focus of what your gospel is, what your word is, what the other things. There are certain parts and aspects of our faith that you've got to know what they are. You've got to know that the King James Bible is a pure word of God. You've got to know that, and you've got to put that down in your heart, and you've got to have that as your own. You claim it as yours. That way, no matter what, somebody comes up to you, that's not really the word of God. You can say, it doesn't matter what you tell me. It's the word of God. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, we all believe that here. There's going to be days that you're going to have to fight this. Yep. We've had years and years and years of joy. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a day you have to fight for something in your life.
That's right.
And there is a difference between independent fundamental Baptists and the other churches that are out there. There's a difference. And I know that a lot of times we don't like to wrestle with that. But folks, there's going to be a day when you've got to wrestle with your own faith. You've got to put it to, hey, what does your faith mean to you? I don't want to get involved with the world system. I don't want to get involved where I go to a church where there's more drums than people. I don't want to get in that. I don't want to get into a place where you worship the creature more than the creator. I don't want to get to a spot where they care more about the emotion of the whole thing than they do the actual faith. How do you avoid that? You get something down in your heart that is your faith, that you literally cling to, that's yours, you own it. And you don't want to be part of the world. And I got news for you. If you have a good prayer life with Christ, a good, solid prayer life with Christ, He will help you to stay out of that world system. He'll help you to stay away from those things. He'll help you to keep your focus stayed on Him and have your focus stayed on what is the true faith, what is the true Word of God. What are we fighting for if we don't have those things? The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There is nothing He's asking here that you don't need to give Him.
Amen.
It's your reasonable service. That's what you should be doing.
Yes.
I've used this illustration a lot, but I got news for you. If Brian Stevens died for me, Karen would never want for anything the rest of her life. Why? Because I would want to pay her back for losing her husband in my stead because he died for me. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure she's okay the rest of her life. And you would say, well, what did Christ do for you? He died for you. We should desire to give everything to Him because He dies for us. Now, we can't tangibly grasp it today. That's what faith is. We can't tell you, but when you get to heaven, I'm going to tell you what's going to be the sadness when you get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you're going to see how great it is, and you're going to say, man, I wish I would have lived more for you. Because, man, Lord, this is awesome. And I'm going to get to live here for eternity. I didn't do enough for you. I didn't do near enough. And here's the thing. Well, Brother Dave, how in the world do I know what He wants me to do? God's will is not that difficult to figure out. It really isn't. If you would start doing something for God, He'll show you more to do. That's the bottom line. You know, oh, Brother Dave, I don't have a job in the church. Be thankful. One's coming. If you would just literally, if you would just see a piece of paper on the floor, people, I love this. I don't want to do this. It doesn't matter what you want to do. Sometimes what you want to do is not what God wants you to do. Matter of fact, most of the time. And if you will pray to Him and ask Him, Lord, please give me something to do, be careful, He will.
You're right.
And if He gives you something to do, glory to God, grab a hold of that and don't you ever let loose of it.
Amen.
Grab a hold of that something to do and say, you know what, I'm going to do this as unto the Lord, not your best.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this my best, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. And He'll, you know what's funny? You say, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I just don't think I'm equipped for the job. Then God must be dumb. Because if God asked you to do it, obviously you're equipped. Because God's awfully smart.
Yeah. Amen.
See, what you got to understand is that when you adjust your prayer life some and you really want to get involved with what the Lord would have you to do and you really want to get closer to the Lord, you'll get closer to Him through prayer. You'll get closer to Him through helping. You'll get closer to Him by presenting your body a living sacrifice.
Amen.
Lord, whatever you want from me, that's what I want to do.
Right.
But the problem is we don't want to give up what the world has given us for what God has to offer. Let's put it where it's at. We don't want to give up what this world has, what we can see with our eyes. We don't want to give that up for a minute so we can go see what God wants us to do.
You're right.
And what's sad is what God wants us to do has eternal dividends. What we can do over here has a dividend that would last however long you live.
Yeah.
And it, well, I'll have a memorial building named after me. That's great. That's wonderful. But even that building is going to perish someday. And what you do for God will last for eternity.
Yeah.
See, we live in a day and age where we literally are more concerned about getting our reward right now than we are about having the reward in the eternity. Because we seek rewards of men here. We really do. We desire for people to see us. We desire for people to appreciate us. We desire for people to love us. And there's nothing wrong with being loved and appreciated. But when we seek to have that love and appreciation written on a billboard in our honor, you have got your reward. But if you seek to get a reward from the King of Kings, you'll do things not as unto men. You'll do them and pray for them as unto God. We need to make minor adjustments in our prayer life, minor things that we can change. What does this say? Is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? I had a fella tell me just this last weekend. And I love coffee. And right in the foyer when you walk into this church, a beautiful church, they got the coffee bar there. And I'm not against that as long as they serve coffee after church. I just don't know if I'm real excited about having coffee in a coffee house in the church. I just don't know if I'm real excited about
Amen.
That. And the fella tells me, he says, well, you know what? This is the way churches are going today. Now, wait a minute now. That's not the way this church is going.
Amen.
And I don't think it's the way every... And you say, well, Brother Dave, they're packed with people. So what? Man, I got to thinking about that. I think I'd rather have 100 people that love the Lord
yes.
than 1 million people that want your coffee. And I'm not against coffee. I'm not. Coffee is good. I drank it on the way here and back because I was falling asleep. But I'm going to tell you right now, we get sometimes so caught up in what the world has to offer. Where Brother Dave, our music would be enhanced with a set of drums. I know. Why? Why would it be enhanced with a set of drums? We've got Mrs. Black that plays this piano phenomenal. We've got Mrs. Skyver over here that plays this piano phenomenal. You start bringing other things in, what happens is this, you take away from what their abilities are. And we've got two ladies that love God and seek His will. Brother Dave, you just don't understand the way of the world. I don't want to understand the way of the world.
Amen.
Well, that's boring. Pray a little bit. You get closer to God, it'll become exciting to you. The waving of hands, the speaking in tongues, all the things that they do in these churches today is the world.
Yep.
That's not what God would have us to do.
Right.
We need to withdraw ourselves. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, you should be looked at as weird.
Amen.
Be not conformed to this world. Man, you're weird.
Yeah, amen.
I don't like drums in my church service. Man, you're weird. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, we live in a time where your faith is going to be tested. What you believe in is going to be tested. And you need to nail it down right away. You need to nail down what you believe, why you believe, how you believe right now. That way, if you got it nailed down in your heart, you don't have to worry about it. Let me tell you this. I'll give you a perfect example. How do I nail this down? How many in here are Ohio State Buckeye fans? Most of you are ashamed to admit it. I'm glad. Here's what's amazing. There's nothing I can do to change your heart to make you a fan of somebody else. Nothing. If you're an Ohio State fan, you're an Ohio State fan all the way. God bless your heart. I'm a Michigan fan. I'm a Michigan fan all the way. I'm surrounded by Ohio State fans here. If I was going to change, this would be the place to do it. But yeah, please. But understand this. I'm not going to change. I will never change. And what's funny is, How much more do you hold on to what your team around here means to you than what your faith in God has means to you? How much more do you stick to the Cleveland stinking rotten clowns? How much more do you hold on to them than you would hold on to that faith that you have in God? I want you to think with me. You would never come off of that orange and brown boat that you ride on. But understand this. How quickly would we jump off God's boat if somebody came up and said that word's really not inspired?
Yeah.
I mean, hold on to that. I'm telling you right now, folks, you think, well, Brother Dave, I can't believe you're using it. I don't care anything about sports analogies either. But understand this. There's got to be a day in your life when you have more faith than you have right now. There's got to be a day in your life our faith is going to be tested. Are you willing to stand up for what you believe in? Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you, if you sit, I walk in here and say, go blue, you're all like, oh, man. If I came in here and said, this is not inspired, what would you say? Amen, brother. I'm going to tell you right now, you listen to me. You've got to make this your faith an issue in your life.
Yes.
You got to make what you believe in an issue.
Yes.
Bethel Baptist Church is not a social club. Amen. This is a place where you need to make faith an issue. Yes. What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin?
Amen.
You better hold on to that. Yep. Do you believe that Mary is anything more than Jesus' mama while she was here? Yes, she's blessed among women, but that's all she was. She was a sinner that needed to be saved just like anybody else.
Right.
What do you believe? Because if you don't believe that, you can be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes through here.
Right.
You've got to know. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport.
Right.
Being a Christian is something you've got to learn. You've got to do. Listen, what does this Bible said? By the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To be holy and acceptable, you've got to know what you believe in. How do I do that? Brother, you've got to pray. And say, God, please give me avenues to learn what your truths are.
Yes.
And then when somebody gets up here and starts speaking to you out of this, make sure you know what they're saying.
Right.
Don't just take for granted that preacher and I are telling you truth.
Right.
Are you kidding me? We could fail you tomorrow.
Yes.
You make sure you get it out of this black and white King James Bible right here.
Amen.
If we do something other than this, get us out of here.
Right,
right now. Don't have a pulpit committee and a meeting about it. Get us out. Because we've got nothing else to hold to but this.
Right.
If we take this away, your foundation is gone.
Right.
We need to pull away from what the world has to offer. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by a renewing of your mind. You got to change the way you think. I don't care about what the world has to offer for Bethel Baptist Church. All I want is what God has to offer.
Amen.
I don't care about social clubs. I don't care about having all these other things that the world want to give. I just want what God wants us to have, no matter what. Be transformed by renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good. If we do those things, we're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we want, isn't it?
Amen.
We want the perfect will of God. And if we do the things that he shows us to do, I believe we'll get closer to doing just that. Understand this. We do those things by getting closer. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see one more thing, and we'll probably be done with this. Done with this little part here. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 20. Actually, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In him being Jesus, that all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you. Now let me tell you something. This should become very personal to you. Okay, the Bible is a wonderful tool in that, yes, it was speaking to the people that were there at that time, but it is also speaking to us.
Amen.
The Bible is not a historical book, although it is. It's not just that. It is also something that is very, very personal to you. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, Jesus Christ made peace for us through the blood of his cross. through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. He reconciled Annie Saylor to himself by shedding his blood on the cross. He reconciled Carl McDaniel to himself by shedding his blood on the cross. It's a very personal issue. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, things that were either gone on before or things that were standing there right now and standing here today. Where the things in heaven, because understand this, nobody was reconciled until Christ died. He had to lead captivity captive out of Abraham's bosom. Preachers taught us that's a great truth. And because he's done that, now we have a way to get directly to heaven when we die. Amen. And what this is saying is this, you've been reconciled. Make this personal. And you. Here it is. And you. That were sometimes alienated and enemies. Stop right there for a second. You need to hear this. You need to hear this. And you who were sometimes alienated. You were sometimes afar off. You were sometimes away. Listen to this. Listen to what this says though. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But there's times in your life, and I need you to hear this, that you feel like you're alienated and you feel as though you're an enemy of God. Why? By wicked works. You get yourself involved in things that you ought not be involved in, you're going to feel alienated. You're going to feel like you're an enemy of God. Do you know that that's still in your mind only? Now, God's not happy with what you're doing. Don't misread me. But understand this. There's never a time that the Lord would leave your side. Sadly, we usually give him our back side. We'll turn our back on him, and we'll walk away and do the things that we think that are right in our own eyes. We do those things, and we become alienated and enemies in our mind. I'm going to tell you, I want you to think with me. This is very personal. I want you to think with me how many times that you feel that you've been alienated from God. You feel that he's not even close to me anymore. You feel that you don't even hear him speak anymore. Oh, Lord, I can't hear you anymore. There's a day that, oh, Lord, I just don't know which way to turn. You just don't seem to be here with me anymore. Lord, I just don't know how to do this. And Lord, I had a Christian life. I had a walk that was close to you. Lord, I used to be close. I used to speak to you all the time. Here's the question, brother. Whose mind is that in? Is that in yours or is that in his? He doesn't want to be far from you, Christian. He wants to be very close. Start to pray to him. Start to talk to him. Beg him to come back to you. Beg him to come back so you can hear his voice again, so you can get close to your Savior. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the way you live today, everybody wants to make you do things that aren't godly. There's hardly anybody out there that wants you to be godly. Almost everybody, and that's not necessarily things that in their eyes are wrong. These worship services where everybody's dancing around and jumping around that craziness. In their eyes, they may not think that's wrong, but understand this. That is not what God wants in our lives. Amen. He's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of craziness. I promise you, that's not what he wants. What he wants more than anything else is for you to get down on your knees and say, God, not in these million-dollar words that you're looking up in the dictionary to come up with. That you're pouring your heart out. And you're saying, God, please be close to me. Lord God, I want you to renew your mind in front of the Lord and say, Lord, I've been doing things wrong. I've been doing wrong roads. And Lord, I've been doing things that I ought not do. And Lord, I need your help. I promise you that's pleasing to God. When you're offering yourself a humble sacrifice, knowing that you've got nothing to offer, you've got nothing to offer, but God can use everything you have, which is nothing. How, what a great God. He can use everything that you have and take that and use it for something great for him. Not seeking to have men's approval, seeking to have the approval of Almighty God. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you talked to the very person that can give you peace? When's the last time you talked to the person that can take you out of the trouble you're in? I need $1,000, Brother Dave. Then go to the person that has all the money. Lord, please work it out. Do you have faith enough? The question comes, as Christians, we do our very best to solve all problems before we turn to God, who is the solution. And usually what happens is we get our lives so screwed up that we literally turn our back on God. And God, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do everything I can, never turning. Lord, always being there, wanting you and desiring you to turn. Until we can't find a way out. And then we become alienated and enemies. Not necessarily doing things that are necessarily in our eyes wicked, but we do things that aren't pleasing to God, therefore becoming part of the world, and unplug ourselves from being a Christian. Not that you can lose your salvation, but you unplug yourself from leading a Christian life and lead a life that is pleasing to the world, which may be easier today, but it surely isn't going to be easier later. Instead of turning to Christ right away, Lord, I need you. I need you to transform my life because my life is not worth much. And on my own, I can't do it. Folks, I can't even imagine living today's life without Christ. I can't. So why, we that are saved, why in the world would we want to try it? We're saved people. We know the Lord is our Savior. He walks with me. He talks with me. Along life's narrow way, why in the world would we want to turn away from the very person that can help us? He is free. He's free to you. Offer yourself to Him. Start to pray. And when you pray, change your attitude of prayer. Make yourself an offering, not a withdrawal.
Amen.
When you pray, make yourself an offering, not a withdrawal. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, please anoint Bethel Baptist Church. These people are good, sweet people, and we need you. Lord, we need you more than we've ever needed you before. Lord, there's a time when Christians have to stand up and fight for what they believe in. And Lord, I would that we'd have an army of people in here that knew exactly what your faith is and would never, ever go away from it. Lord, we learn these things by coming to you and speaking with you. Lord, we call it prayer, but it's a conversation. And I believe, Lord, that we need to speak that conversation a lot more often than we do. Your Bible says to pray without ceasing. And Lord, I believe that we need to be in a conscious thought all the time of what you would have us to do. And Lord, I think that we would always want to be talking to you. Lord, I thank you that we being enemies and we being separated from you is only in our mind. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're always there with us. And Lord, I would to God that we would always look to you, bring you closer to us. Lord, please. Your Bible says if we draw nigh unto you, you'll draw nigh unto us. Lord, please help that to happen. Help us to get closer to you. And Lord, please bless the services this morning. Lord, we need you. Anoint our preacher. Lord, please speak through him today in a very powerful way. And Lord, let us be blessed with that we were in your house today. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.